Today on Locked On Rockies, the final home series of the year, and it's against a familiar face, so we decided to bring on a familiar face.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a Locked On MLB crossover today, as it's an NL West matchup for the final homestand at Coors Field this year in the year 2022. Paul Holden here from the Locked On Rockies podcast. Javier Reyes from the Locked On Padres podcast. Dabbing. I'll get in on some dabs. Lots of dabbing. Having a ton of fun. The bet with some of my favorite crossovers we get to do. Javi and I always have a blast, but we are coming to you from the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find your team every single day. We are free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. Just search Locked On Rockies, Locked On Padres, or Locked On your favorite team, and there's a podcast for you. Hey, why don't you check out Locked On Rockies and Locked On Padres on YouTube? Your subscription to YouTube is a massive help for us, and it's a great way to know when we go live. And on the Locked On Rockies side, you can pop into the live chat and be part of the show. I'm sure you can do all sorts of fun stuff there on that side as well. Today's episode of the Locked On Podcast Network, I guess the Locked On Rockies and Locked On Padres podcast, is Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. We'll talk about that more later. But Javi, let's talk Rockies. Let's talk Padres. Padres in a better spot, but Rockies are in the win column when it comes to the series overall. How are you feeling about the Padres as of recording here today, the 23rd of September?
I can't lie to you. I'm mortified of playing the Rockies. Why? Because the sport is stupid. It shouldn't be that way. It should be, all right, everyone who's in the playoff race, you look at the remaining schedules, you're like, okay, you got Colorado, and then maybe you've got this team, and oh man, we got one against the Reds. That gets you excited. But for the Padres, they just stink against this team. If I'm not mistaken, they're 7-9 against them on the season. And last year, they got their butts kicked routinely. And last year's team on paper, arguably worse than this year's team. But it's just, there's a lot going on here, man. Because the Rockies, I don't know what it is. You know, maybe it's rock culture. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just because, you know, they say that about their team. They're big on the culture over there in Colorado, man. The purple dinosaur, everything, whatever you want to call it. I think that the Pods, this is going to be a surprisingly really tough series because they just don't play the Rockies well. And I don't think it's a coincidence when it's been happening 2 years now. But, you know, it's, again, I still think the Padres are a good team. I just don't think they're a great team. But then again, great teams don't always win at all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, good teams can just kind of sneak in there. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
I would say that's a prime example with, you know, the team that just swept the Rockies at Coors Field, which is interesting because it's the exact opposite. The Rockies can't play the Giants. The Giants, I believe the Rockies are something like 9-26 against the Giants in the past like 2 years or something like that. It's absolutely abysmal how bad the Rockies are against San Francisco and LA, but there's something about San Diego that the Rockies just see. I'm never when the Dodgers and the Giants roll through town, I always roll my eyes. Or if the Rockies have to go to San Francisco or LA, I roll my eyes. But it's always San Diego where I feel like the Rockies play. But one thing we can guarantee in this final homestand, final three, what is it? It's a three-game set, right? A little weekend set here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to finish out the season at Coors Field. It's lots of runs. And I am curious, Javi, does this Padres team, without Tatis, have enough offense with Machado and, of course, Soto to compete in the playoffs? Like you said, great teams don't have to be there, but does this team have enough offense to be able to keep up with some of these teams that have been scoring a lot of runs?
The thing about the Padres is on paper, their offense is just not all that great, which is obviously amazing considering that they have Juan Soto and Manny Machado on the team. But they're 18th in batting average. They're 9th in on base. So that is one thing with them, is they are a very patient team at the plate, believe it or not. They don't swing at too many bad pitches. Problem is that the contact itself isn't great. They're 20th in home runs, 22nd in slugging percentage. They have been very largely carried on just situational hitting this year, as well as a dynamite rotation. And don't get me wrong, I know. Sean Manaea, he barely even starts anymore. He's been a disaster. And then you have Mike Clevinger, who is at the minimum, especially the second half. He's got like the worst FIP in baseball, one of the worst ERAs. He's been quite bad. But, you know, the Snell, the Darvish, the Musgrove, for when they had him, McKenzie's pretty good for them. So it's that's the strength of their team. And then really clutch hitting. That's and sometimes that happens. We saw it with the Mariners last year, for example. They were a team very flawed in the team statistical areas, like I just mentioned, with the you know slugging and all that stuff. But they still just had unbelievably clutch hitting. That doesn't mean they're not a good team. That more means, hey, let's see, maybe next year it won't carry over just because of probability and stuff like that. You won't necessarily be able to carry over the clutch stuff for 2 years in a row. But for now, they can get some hits, man. But I just, Juan Soto's tenure with the Padres, underwhelming does not put it well enough. He is a walk machine still. Still doesn't swing at many bad pitches, but he just looks uncomfortable up there. A lot of slow rollers to first base. It's just rough, man. It's rough. And then I will say this, though, and we're going to talk about some underrated players later that you got to look out for. But, you know, Ha-Sung Kim, he's been a delight. Jake Cronenworth, he's having a down season, but he's still all right. It's just not nearly as scary, I think, that Rockies fans should know. Because they look at Soto and they look at Machado and they say, oh my God, we got to pitch these guys. It's not nearly as daunting a task, unfortunately, as you would think, given the payroll and given all the moves they made.
Well, would you say at this point, this now is where the Tatis absence is being felt the most? You would have to imagine adding Tatis is not only a offensive threat, but presence to the team. You'd have to imagine he would probably be someone that could beef up Soto. And of course, we know the tandem of Machado and Tatis is deadly. But would you say that now more than ever, the Padres are feeling the absence of Tatis here?
I'd say so. If it weren't for the fact that they have been playing decent ball lately, they played a pretty good series against the Cardinals, won 2 out of 3. It would be really showing if they had been losing a lot of games, but I feel it a lot. And one of the things that I talk about on my show a whole bunch is I think that the way that Preller and Musgrove and all of them talked about the Tatis news when it came out, especially in regards to AJ Preller, I really do have to imagine that, you know, they didn't know this was coming down. And I do wonder a little bit whether or not they make the trade, right? Like, I really do. Do they make the trade for Soto knowing that they don't have Tatis or is part of that? Maybe they got some scouting and they have some extra numbers that you and I, us dumbies, maybe can't understand about Tatis in the first spot versus Soto when he has someone who's a hitter in front of him versus doesn't it? There's probably something that Tatis leading off and then Soto and then, man, I mean, the, or even Profar leading off, whoever the heck. They've had a weird luck at finding a leadoff hitter this year, the Padres. They can't make up their mind. Sometimes it's Ha-Sung Kim. Sometimes right. It's Grisham. Sometimes it's Profar. Sometimes, heck, they've even probably put Cronenworth in there a couple times. So that's the big thing with the team. That danger zone part of the lineup was going to be really special, I think. And you even saw last year when Tatis was on the team after he came back from an injury, they really started firing on all cylinders, right? So I think they're definitely feeling it right now. I've been feeling it for a while too. Again, it does not mean they're not a good team. They are a good team. It's just that it just sucked the life out of the Soto acquisition, especially considering that he's been in such a slump so far.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of classic Padres, right? Big trade, something, some bad news, great news immediately followed up with incredibly bad news. And I want to talk about another deal that and another part of the Padres, because, and a little bit more on Soto as well. But before we do that, if you want to make sure that you are going to the right place for all your postseason action or down the stretch action for baseball, why don't you head on over to our friends at betonline.net? And guess what? There's this little sport going on called football. If you want to get in on all the action, BetOnline is your number one source for your football betting info this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. Hey, and if you're watching a little bit of Padres Rockies this weekend, why don't you hop in and do some of the live betting that they have over there at BetOnline? It's your continued source for all your sporting wagering information. They got that live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there, including esports. the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. You can head over to betonline.net. That's betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts. Javi here. We got a special guest in the live chat here. Locked On Yankees is waving to us, so we'll wave on back there to our friends over there at Locked On Yankees. We had a great crossover with them yesterday. Here's this one for you, Javi, just as with that tease. Aaron Judge, Colorado Rocky. Yeah, match made in heaven. We love it, right?
What is that, 97 home runs that he'll have
if he plays some
of his games at Coors? Oh, man.
Rockies are going to back up the truck for Chris Bryant, I don't know if the Rockies can swing a $300 million contract, but you're telling me that the Rockies don't become at least the team that everyone talks about if Aaron Judge is just going to sit there in right field and just hit nukes for the Colorado Rockies. They'll still finish 20 games out of the NL West title, but if you don't think Aaron Judge is going to hit more than 60 home runs, of course, you are mistaken.
That'd be something, Matt. That'd be something.
We're talking Padres. We're talking Rockies. And bullpen for the Padres, Javi. Let's talk about that. A big move made. One of the most exciting names in the game. And it hasn't panned out at all. Is that the biggest concern for you, for you going into the – or is the offense the biggest concern going at? Because we talked about these things that, again, with the Padres maybe scuffling a little bit, but – they are second place in the wild card. The race is still very much close with Philly and Milwaukee back there. That's really who's left in the race there. So there's definitely, these games are very important for the Pods, but they are still in the race. Are you worried more about the bullpen of the Padres than the offense, especially with another big acquisition not panning out?
No, I think it's still offense for me. And don't get me wrong, Hader has been pretty bad for the Padres. I think his ERA was at 27 at some point. Speaking of Yankees being in the chat. I think that Hader is at least having some positive regression to being a reliever who can pitch, because this was a guy who just couldn't pitch for like a week and a half. He blew like three saves, maybe had four, some sac flies, was not throwing strikes at all. Maybe he's just going to be a Robert Suarez level reliever. He's going to be Daniel Bard level reliever at the minimum, right? So, and again, maybe that's a positive regression coming, because it's just, I didn't love the trade when it first happened. I was vocal about that. I didn't hate it. I'm not going to pretend in the slightest that I expected this to happen. But my thing is, Milwaukee is a miss on trades. And, you know, I think investing in relievers is really scary a lot of times. So we'll see how it still pans out. But for me, it's still the offense, man. And I know that your team has some very interesting – what happened to some of your offense? Because before we talk about some of the underrated guys, I think, on both teams, I need to ask you, man, because, like, who is the person to fear in this lineup? Because I know that CJ Cron just turned into one of the least valuable bats in baseball. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know – I haven't heard one thing about Chris Bryant since maybe June. You know what I mean? And I know that that's been because he's been hurt and all that. And last time we were here, we talked about Connor Joe, the boy. But what is there on the Rockies side of things when it comes to their offense? Because I'm worried about mine, but I imagine you've got some concerns with yours too.
Completely concerned with the lack of offense. This is a team that just got shut out at Coors Field. This is a team that's been shut out at home a few times this year. This is a team that is in the bottom of statistical categories. Let's see if I can get it up. Let's see where they are in terms of rankings. I believe they are pretty much they're last in batting average. I got this is all mixed up. But anyway, they've been at the bottom of the league and everything. They don't hit home runs. There's no one that is really a fearful bat. CJ Cron is still a fine. He did. He's at 29 home runs and over 100 RBIs now, but you're right. After the All-Star break, ice cold. Connor Joe really had a struggle in the second half. Chris Bryant goes his first year as a Colorado Rocky. Obviously, we know the injuries. Zero home runs at Coors Field. Chris Bryant didn't in all of his time, and he didn't play a ton, but he did not have a single home run at Coors Field. There's that the Rockies, we joke about Judge, but the Rockies need to invest in offense. I mean, Charlie Blackmon still swung it pretty well for what or has been swinging it pretty well and has had a lot of multi-hit games. But I would say it's been a big disappointment from Ryan McMahon, who I was hoping to see a step up in terms of offense. He hasn't really shown you a ton in his career that he's going to be a dominant, scary threat at the dish. But I was hoping with the extension, with the Rockies kind of saying, hey, Rymack, you're our guy, they were going to do it. But the Rockies overall regressed. The pitching staff regressed. Most of the starters for the Rockies are facing career worse or second or third career worse in statistical categories. Germán Márquez is a shell of the pitcher he was last year. But the offense, especially, it's been frustrating even when the Rockies had some pieces there as well. The Rockies need a complete overhaul of mindset. And I went into the season thinking, oh, you know, if the Rockies don't hit a lot of home runs, that's okay, as long as they're hitting doubles. And they're not doing that, but I could change my mind. The Rockies have to leave the yard. The Rockies can't be a team that is not in the top 10 team in baseball in home runs. It just simply cannot. That the part of the philosophy has to be putting the ball over the yard, over the wall. And this was a team. Last year was historically bad on the road, but it's the same thing. It's a team that goes on the road and can't hit. But then, yeah, you go down the lineup, and there's no one that – there's no Machado. There's no Soto. I mean, CJ Cron is a power bat, but he's CJ Cron. No, he's not
– yeah.
It's not Nolan Arenado. It's not Trevor Story. It's not DJ LeMahieu. It's not prime Charlie Blackmon. And then you are hoping to get stuff from Elias Diaz, who has shown that he is really only good in the second half of the year. You're leaning on some of these guys that aren't great. However, Brendan Rodgers is legit. And after his terrible start to the year, he's got dealing with some hamstring stuff right now. But Brendan Rodgers has put together and has been one of the better hitting second basemen. And I believe the National League or across baseball after the first month and a half where he was ice cold. So really the big one for the future and looking forward, Brendan Rodgers, I think, is going to be quite the threat. But Javi, you mentioned players to look out for. I bet you there's going to be a lot of Padres fans looking and they're going to say, who the heck is playing for the Colorado Rockies right now? And it won't be surprised where you're going to see four prospects potentially for the Rockies playing in this game. You're going to see Alan Trejo. You're going to see the number two prospect in the entire system is going to make his debut. I don't think he did anything yesterday. I can't remember if if Tovar
is
played.
Is he a pitcher?
No, okay, he's a shortstop.
Thank God, because the Padres have a remarkable ability to make prospects who are making their debut no hit them. Apparently they've had three guys. This is wild. I'm serious. From the Diamondbacks, three pitchers that were making their major league debut, none of them gave up any runs, and one of them last year threw a no-hitter. So you might as well name the worst pitching prospect in your farm. I don't care who it is. Bring him up. You might just do 6 innings, 1 run. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he might do. Seriously, I don't know what it is with this team.
The Rockies, but that's the other thing. There's not a lot of excitement for Rockies pitching coming. The Rockies don't have a pitching prospect. The Rockies right now are banking on these fielding prospects to be there and their core rotation. Bud Black did call the Rockies pitching rotation, this current year's pitching rotation, a playoff caliber rotation at one point this year. And that was at a time where they ranked at the bottom of all statistical team categories in baseball. There's going to be a lot of young guys, but hopefully soon I can tell you that Aleris Montero is going to be the threat of that lineup. But there's really nothing in terms of offense. But Padres fans are going to see new prospects, Montero, Tovar, Trejo, Sean Bouchard, Michael Tolia, who Todd Helton has been working with one-on-one, basically. So it's all going to be – I wouldn't be surprised if you see all of those names get in the lineup at least once this weekend.
That's cool. That's something to look forward to just for a different sake. And look, I will say, you did mention they don't hit home runs. Yeah, they're 23rd in the league, but batting average 6th, on base 8th, you could be worse. The problem, man, just for listeners to get a good grasp of how bad – the pitching is. And I will say that listeners probably aren't going to be shocked to hear that the Colorado Rockies don't have great pitching. I don't remember the last time they did. 30th in ERA, 30th in batting average against, and 28th in whip. So not great. not great over in Colorado. And the Marquez thing is a big part of that, because Marquez was, I think, almost by every baseball fan viewed as this pitcher that if you just got him out of Coors, he was going to be a Cy Young level, or at least in that area, like a top 15 pitcher. Everyone was like, oh man, if only he could get out. One of the pitchers got out, and that was John Gray, who kind of just got beat up and hurt all season, but he was whatever. And then
he's still been the Rangers' best pitcher.
Yeah, he's still been their best pitcher. He just hasn't played as much because of health. But with the Rockies, you look at this and say, why didn't they trade John Gray? They had the chance. That was a whole kerfuffle. Maybe you should have traded Herman Marquez. Last year's deadline was wild. Maybe even this year's, or you couldn't do it this year because he hasn't been good this year. But last year's deadline, people were firing off left and right. I mean, maybe you could have got something from him, but no. I mean, it's really going rough in Rocky Town.
Colorado Rockies have stood pat at two trade deadlines. In losing John Gray and Trevor Story, they were granted one draft pick for losing both of those players. And they decided to stick with their veteran team and veteran core that they are now not playing, and also all underperformed. Jose Iglesias, CJ Cron, and Daniel Bard all should have been traded. I like Daniel Bard, but it just doesn't make sense where the Rockies are. Let's put a bow on things. Let's talk on the Coors Field season, and we'll give our final predictions about this year, the final series between the Rockies and the Padres. But first, check this out. Javier Reyes, Paul Holden here with a little Locked On crossover. I host Locked On Rockies podcast. Javier Reyes hosts the Locked On Padres podcast. These two teams matching up for the final time this year. It's at Coors Field. And who's getting let's see. We got Ryan Feltner, the young gun for the Rockies. They're going up against John Anaya. They're here in game number one. Javi, what is a good series for the Padres like in this one, and what are you hoping to see?
2 out of 3, I'd say, is a good one for the Padres. Obviously, it does depend on how Philly performs and how Milwaukee performs. Those are the two teams that are kind of, you know, on them right now, and Philly has the third spot in the wild card race. So those are the teams we're watching out for. I've been watching those games like a hawk, especially the Brewers, because I hate the Brewers. I've been watching those games very intently. And what was the pitcher you said really quickly that the Padres are going to be facing?
Isn't it Sean Manea? Manea? Manea?
No. The Rockies are throwing.
Oh, Ryan Feltner.
Oh, okay. I don't know why, but I thought that was like the brother of one of the pitchers that no-hit us. It's Ryan Nelson. I don't know why Nelson made me think of it, but okay. Anyway, what was the question that prompted this? I forgot.
Well, no, you nailed it. 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hold on there, a little bit of offense, and you hang on there. The Rockies would love, we love playing spoiler for the Padres. It's the one thing we get to do for there. But man, you get to sweat there for a little bit. Javi, we'll close on this. And for those out there, what's a good series for the Rockies? They just score some runs and don't get swept at home and make it hard for the Padres to make the playoffs. That's a win. So yeah. 2 out of 3 or a sweep. Oh boy, that would make things even more fun for Padres fans. But Javi, currently above Philly, Milwaukee's looming. Is San Diego making the playoffs?
I'm going to say yes, because in the words of the great Steve Rogers in Avengers Endgame at the beginning of the movie, when he says, I know it's going to work because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't. That's me right now. It's going to work because I literally don't know what Locked On Now video I'll be doing. I don't know. I just, the Joker making an appearance again, a reappearance. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how dark it's going to get. If this team went out there, traded their entire farm, and then Tatis has the motorcycle at the beginning of the year, and then he gets suspended. Then Soto, one of the this isn't like, we didn't even talk about Brandon Drury and Josh Bell, two players that the Padres also acquired that have been underperforming, or even last year's Adam Frazier, where it's like, all right, it's stupid and annoying that the Dodgers can go and pick up Trace Thompson and Joey Gallo, and those guys will be better than dudes who were literally all-stars contender level players. That, you know, it's annoying. I don't like how, and maybe this just says a lot about how the Padres approach team stuff, but it's like, can you at least be an average player? Like, why do you have to regress to being like a 40 WRC plus or whatever the heck their numbers are, right? Like, That's what's so frustrating. If you regress to being like, oh, you're hitting 270 now instead of 310. Or, okay, like it's disappointing, but it's whatever. But with those guys, with Soto, are you kidding me? Right? Like it's out of all the players to regress.
Right.
You got to be kidding me. Like that is peak Padres for him to get there and look like, I was going to make an anime reference, but I don't want to turn everybody off, but like, just look like, you know, after Goku goes Super Saiyan and he's exhausted, right? Like how does that happen? This is a guy who's slugging like 100 points less when he joins the Padres. And it's just very, it feels like a curse. It really does. So I'm hoping that they make the playoffs because I just can't see what happens if they do all these moves. They blow up their farm to oblivion and then they don't even make the playoffs. At the minimum, you have to do that. And I'll close out by saying one thing. Look out for Jose Azokar this weekend. That's been the one really fun new thing for the Padres. It's been that they finally figured out that Trent Grisham batting under 200 probably shouldn't be starting every day. congratulations to them on figuring that out. And oh, well, he's good at defense. Yeah, well, we don't know what Azokar can do. And if you want to go by just speed and outfield jump, Jose Azokar is in the top percentile in that too. So maybe he can be good. And at the minimum, he can't be that much worse defensively to offset his bat. So anyway, that's enough of my rant. I am just, I'm in like a, I'm not saying I'm on life support. I'm just like, I don't know the word. Like I'm very anxious. I'm very ready to explode if things don't go right. I think they will, but oh boy. Yeah, I mean, maybe the listeners are going to like to see me explode. So you're in for a treat if the Padres don't make the playoffs. So got to go out there.
Padres are indeed a cursed team. They are indeed a cursed team. I will admit that. That absolutely is true. The Rockies might be more cursed, but it's a curse of their own doing. It's not necessarily.
That's true.
it's as if they have. It's if they just are casting. They're like learning how to cast spells, and they just keep messing it up, and they just. Casting them on themselves instead.
You have done that yourself. It's like Obi-Wan, right? Like-
because again, one thing you know, even when it doesn't pan out, the Padres are aggressive. The Padres are exciting. The Padres make moves. And that's something that Rockies fans don't get to say. But let's wind things down. Lots of fun. It's, you know, always fun when these two teams match up. So always fun to talk to Javi as well. Javi, where should people go to stay up to date with all things Padres?
All things Padres. And me. All things Padres at @LO_Padres on Twitter and Locked On Padres on YouTube. You can also check out the website Just Baseball where I write about the Padres. I'm going to be writing about the aforementioned Azokar and Campuzano soon. So check that out whenever it drops. And then my own personal Twitter at Javipeno, JAVIIPENO. My head was pointing down towards the name there if you're watching the YouTube. Go check that out. And as always, man, it's an honor and a privilege. Both of our teams. Curse in their own ways. It's like, you know that meme where it's the person hitting the person in the back with the bar or whatever, and then it says me. Like,
right, yeah, exactly.
That's the Rockies to themselves. You're oh, we have one of the highly sought after relievers. Let's extend the 35-year-old. It's like, it's crazy. But hey, it's always a fun time, man. And at the minimum, if they're going to make me go nuts, let's at least have a fun series. I know, people will get mad, but if we lose, I want it to be crushing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm being serious when I say that. I want to like lose walk-off games, right? Because then I really get to lose it. I don't want to lose no 4-0 and 2-0 and 5-1. No. Give me some entertainment. You know what I mean? Give me some fireworks in the explosion. Yes.
A little sizzle, a little pizzazz. That's what we like from a Coors Field series. For those out there, I'm Paul Holden. You can find me at Paul Holden 33. Locked On Rockies on YouTube, at LO Rockies on Twitter as well. You can find us on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You made us your first listen of the day. Go make Locked On MLB your second listen of the day. And folks, until next time, this is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Podcast Network.